So friends, pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You see the things that we worry and fret about. So we pray, Father, as we dive into your word now, that you would renew us in your love, in your promises, so that we might find the things that we need most in you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, for this message, we're going to be in 1 Timothy 6. There's a Bible under the chair in front of you. If you want to follow along there, it's on page 1195. There's also a YouVersion event that is set up for today's worship. You can follow along there as well. And so how was Thanksgiving? Yeah, good. So glad that it happened, glad that it's over, moving on, like, yeah, next things, right? I love the idea of Thanksgiving. I love the idea of pausing and gathering and thanking, right? Things that are so important to our spiritual life. I don't know if you saw this, but there was it was actually just kind of a quick clip, an interview, a woman who was caught in the campfire, and she had just delivered a baby by C-section. And this fire was sweeping through the hospital where she was. And so she had to get away, and she had this 9-hour harrowing ordeal, like trying to get to a safe place. And obviously managed to do that, but also lost her home, lost, you know, everything. And she said, "Never have I approached Thanksgiving with fewer possessions, but more to be thankful for." And, you know, I realize that the reality of Thanksgiving doesn't always measure up to those ideals that I talked about. When you get everybody together and people haven't seen each other in a while, it isn't always, you know, that great. But at its heart, the spirit of Thanksgiving involves things that are really good for our soul, right? Pausing, gathering, thanking. And then this, right? Black Friday. So from pausing and thanking to I need, I want, I gotta have, you know, a day of thanks and a month of shopping. Honestly, sort of like whiplash to your soul, right? See, if I were king, Thanksgiving would be a whole week, and it wouldn't even count against your vacation. It would just be a whole week off for everybody, where we would all pause and gather and thank, like for a week. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be so great? I mean, it wouldn't be great for the economy, but it'd be so great for the soul of our country. But instead, we find ourselves with this, in this intense season of shopping. And, you know, I get it. For retailers, this is the season, right? And for some retailers, this is like make or break, do or die, right? They do most of their business in this next month. And so retailers are doing everything they can to get your attention and everything they can to make it easy for you to purchase, right? So free shipping from Amazon, free shipping from Target between now and Christmas, right? Amazon Prime Now, whatever you want in 2 hours. Whatever you want, 2 hours, right? Diapers, carrots, headphones, 2 hours. They appear at your door. Isn't that amazing? Like 2 hours from when you click that thing, somebody, they pulled your order, somebody delivered it, and it is at your door. And if that's not quick enough, you can pay a little bit more, and it's 1 hour at your door, right? That is crazy. And somehow, you know, as I shop and as I shop online, by the way, I heard that this year a third of people are expected to do their online shopping on their phones, right? So if you're at that Thanksgiving gathering with family and things are just like not that exciting, you pull out your phone and start doing your Christmas shopping, right? On your phone, right there. So they're making it so easy. And they somehow know, what I need and what I want. Like the other day, I was checking out this Marvel Thor hammer tool set. Now imagine, guys, if you're going to like do some work around the church, you know, Mike, you show up doing some work around the church with your Marvel Thor hammer tool set. Wouldn't that impress the guys? Yeah. And somehow the people at ThinkGeek know that if I'm looking at this, I probably am interested in maybe one of these things too. And see, I didn't even know that there was a Star Wars R2-D2 screwdriver. I didn't know that. But now that I know it, I gotta have it, right? And that's the thing. Awareness fuels discontent, right? Just being aware that my neighbor bought this thing and maybe I need to buy this thing, right? Or awareness that because I bought this, I'm probably also going to need that. And so there's just this awareness that I need more and more, and it builds this kind of discontent. And the problem with discontent is that the solution to it is not to get more stuff, not to buy more stuff. Because like any appetite, when you feed that appetite, it only what? It grows, right? And before long, we find ourselves deep in debt and spending our time and our energy serving that debt and robbing our relationships, right? And we justify it by saying we want our kids to have the best. When in fact, what we're doing is we're withholding the best thing that we can possibly give them, which is us, our time, and our attention. It's all around us, this atmosphere that fuels discontent. Would you believe even in religion, it's there, even in the church, right? So there's this thing called prosperity preaching that says if you do certain things, God will reward you, right? With prosperity. If you sow a seed, God will multiply that seed. And believe it or not, that kind of preaching, that kind of teaching certainly happens today, but it was also happening back in the time of the Apostle Paul. And that actually sets up our reading for today. This is on page 1195 in the Bible under the chair in front of you, 1 Timothy 6. And Paul's writing to Timothy, who's a young pastor, and he's giving him instruction on how to shepherd his flock. And he sets up this section that we're going to be talking about by saying, there are teachers who stir up trouble by teaching that godliness is a means to financial gain. And Paul goes on there then, picking up in verse 6, by saying, godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you're looking for the best investment that you can make, one that will give you great, you know, in Greek, mega, like mega millions, great gain, combine personal contentment with self-giving generosity, self-giving love that honors God. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So everything you have, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, everything that you have has been given to you by God to enjoy, to bless others, and in the process of blessing others who are in need, to make God bigger in their hearts. And at the end of your life, all this stuff that you and I are given to enjoy, it all goes back in the box at the end of your life. So, let's be content with having the things that we really need, right? Paul goes on, verse 9, he says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So the number one issue that leads to divorce is what? It's money. The number one thing that breaks up family after a death in the family is what? It's money. For the love of money, Paul says, is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager, and that word means grasping for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's a maybe a familiar verse, right? Love of money. And it's not that money in itself is evil. It's that money is a heart issue for us. Our hearts are hungry, right? Hungry to be safe, to be loved, to live a meaningful life. And money can deliver those things, right? Money can make me feel secure and make me feel important, but not in a way that lasts, not in a way that ultimately satisfies that hunger in my heart. At some point, I'll be left short. And so when money, when things take that place that is rightfully God's place in my heart, sooner or later, Paul says, my heart will be pierced with many deep sorrows. I can end up estranged from the people around me, even estranged from my family, the people who are so important to me because of money. So knowing all that, hearing what Paul says, how do we navigate this abrupt pivot from Thanksgiving to Black Friday and this season of shopping? Paul says this, verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So recognize that the true riches of your life, this has always been true, the true riches of your life lie in your relationships, right? Your relationship with God. So put your hope in God. He gave His Son's life for you on the cross. And so your future, my future, is a sure thing. Whatever it is you worry about today or tomorrow, there is a life that is ours, that is guaranteed. It's our inheritance because of the cross. And He invites you and me to walk with Him and entrust our needs each day to Him. All the things you worry about, all the people you worry about, to entrust those things to Him. And to notice, to have a practice of noticing the things that He provides for you each day so faithfully. What we do on one day at Thanksgiving, to make that an all-year practice, right? And to give thanks to Him each day. The more I notice how faithfully He provides, the easier it is to trust Him with those things that are heaviest on my heart. Put your hope in God. There's my mic. Put your hope in God and be generous to those around you. So here's the thing, redirect your discontent, right? Instead of being discontented because your garage isn't big enough or your kitchen appliances aren't the right color, focus your discontent on the fact that there are people in our community who will go to bed hungry tonight. Can you be content knowing that is true? There are families around us, right here in Butler County, who are homeless, who are living in a car or squatting in a space that doesn't have any heat as it gets colder tonight. So can you be at peace? Can you be content knowing that? There is a homeless young family that I'm thinking about right now, a young couple. They have two girls, ages 2 and 5. And Family Promise of Butler County is working with this couple. They're without a home. They're working with them on both employment and finding a place to live. And when this young family finds a place to live, they're going to need all the things. You know, they don't have anything, and so they're going to need all the stuff that you need moving into a new place, like furniture and household goods and cleaning supplies and all that kind of stuff. So what if we, as a congregational family, what if we could come alongside this young family and be with them in this new start and help them into that new chapter of life? There's another woman, Carolyn, who is a single mom. She has a 10-year-old daughter, and she lives down in inner city Cincinnati. And Pastor John Sugatan, who's pastor down at Prince of Peace, he sees possibility for Carolyn at Peace Cafe in Clifton. Peace Cafe is a ministry of Prince of Peace. And he's seeing Carolyn come alongside of their chef at Peace Cafe, Bernice Torres, to learn about food service, to learn about serving in that industry, right? Cooking and preparing and once she's reached a level of expertise, once Carolyn has done that, then Jobs Plus of Cincinnati would help her find a permanent job in the food industry. But she needs this training. She needs a skill that in order to do that. So to make this work, Carolyn would need a $350 a month stipend plus a monthly Metro Pass for 12 months, for a year, to get the training that she needs to be ready. And meanwhile, she would be serving in Peace Cafe. So again, we, as a congregational family, could partner with Carolyn and provide those things that she needs in order to make this new start. For the last 5 years, we've been challenging our members to estimate your Christmas spending this year. Just take your best guess at what you think you might spend on Christmas, and then take 10% of that amount. And instead of spending it on yourself or other people or whatever, to put that toward a gift that will be a miracle, an unexpected miracle for this young family, for Carolyn, to move on to this new chapter of life for each of them. We pool, if all our families, if all of us as individuals and families pool that 10%, in the last 5 years, each Christmas, we have gathered between $11,000 and $15,000 to create a miracle for someone. And that money has gone toward a new home for orphans in Ghana. One year it went to a van for our brother Bob Buddy, who was struggling with ALS and just needed basic transportation. And last year's miracle offering went to vision clinics for children and families in Kenya that happened throughout 2018. So what miracle will God work through us as we join together, as families here come together to do this, as we as congregational family come together to do this? As we make this pivot from Thanksgiving to preparing for Christmas, remember the investment that God made in you by sending His Son into our world to give you true riches, life and love that are ours forever because of the cross. And having these true riches, how can we mirror that same generosity into the hearts and lives of people around us? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this busy season, let your love be our quiet center. Stir in us to rethink the pressure to live a life of busy discontent. Move us to join together to live out your love by being generous to those in need around us. And let what's best about Thanksgiving carry us through this season into the new year. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.